Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Let's turn over to Galatians, brothers and sisters, this morning. About midway down through the chapter 4 is where I'm going to go, but I believe we'll just go ahead and begin reading there the first part. I like to preach, brothers and sisters. I like to, you know, maybe just read one scripture and maybe expound on it lightly, but just allow the Spirit to preach the gospel. But I like to get in the Word. I think we can all testify we aren't in our Bibles enough. Amen. You know, you could read the Word and never be with the Word. You could read the Word and never enjoy the Spirit of the Word. And you just read it. There's people that read novels. They get a novel book and they read it. And it's not even a true story. And they read it and they get some pleasure out of it and this and that. And there's people who read the Bible the same way. They read it and they got a story and they could tell you the history of it or they could talk about these things. But brethren, the thing is when you read the Word, it's not for a retention of Scripture. It's for a changing experience of receiving the Spirit. When you receive the Spirit of the Word, brethren, that is what sets you apart. That's where salvation is at. It's not in the retention or knowledge. It's in the Spirit of the Word. Amen. Let's just begin there at the fourth chapter of Galatians. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father." Wonder when that time is. I know we can get a lot of different thoughts on that. But it says, "Even so we, when we're children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." We got to take things line upon line. You know, I'm a son of God now. I'm not a servant. You see, we've got things crossed up if we go there. And I know we just read that, but see, we got to rightly find the mind of revelation in these kind of things. You say, "Well, are you a servant, Brother Rum?" "Yes, sir." And you say, "Well, if you're a servant, you're saying you're not a son of God." "No, I'm a son of God." Jesus, can anybody question here that Jesus wasn't the Son of God? Come on now. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Is he the Son? But then yet he said he came to serve, didn't he? So am I going to take this scripture? You say, "Well, Brother Rob, you're going to confuse people. You're taking the Word and you're always butchering it up and you're always differentiating it and always dissecting or doing all these different things and you just bring confusion to people." No, people are confused because confusion's of the devil. And we've got to learn to take the scriptures and what we have, and you're guilty as well as I am. We have the problem of grabbing this scripture and we apply it. "Oh, I like this one." And then we discount this one. And I like to challenge people to start tearing into the Word or differentiating enough to understand how to apply it to this present day, how they apply it in their life. Because we can take something in the Scriptures and be walking with a spiritual revelation of it and absolutely not applying it. You know, but we have it just to a mental capacity. As I said this morning, we come to church, well, this is what we do. We open up in prayer. This is what we do at church. We take prayer requests. This is what we do. We hear names. But brethren, there should be something in your spirit. There should be some kind of emotion, and I'm not moved by emotion, but there should be some sort of, Jesus, when he heard about his friend Lazarus, it said he wept. You understand that? And there was an emotion. Am I talking about we should have fleshly emotions? Should we have jubilee and exuberance and charisma and charismatic? Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. You know, there is a flesh mind and a flesh man. There is a spirit mind and a spirit man. And the thing is that when you receive the life of the spirit man, it is going to show up in this flesh man. If it's not showing up, it's not there. It's going to show up in obedience. It's going to show up in conformity. And the scriptures that we're going to read here is going to also show how it shows. If I went into the next chapter, I mean, it really shows the difference between the spirit and the flesh life. You say, "Well, I'm spiritual, the flesh life is dead, it's gone." I agree with that, brother, but you still had to eat breakfast, didn't you? You still had to put something to give strength to that flesh man. You know, "Well, I'm so spiritual that I'm just going to discount, I have no..." Well, yes, I can't contest that, brother. You can come to a place in the Spirit of God that you'd never have to eat or drink water ever again. The scriptures we read the other night, it's the drinking of the blood and eating of the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ is where we get life. But there's still a natural man that has to have bread, has to have water, or he perish and die. So if I'm spiritual, I'm going to take care of the needs of that flesh part, for it could be the carrier of the spirit part to take it, to bring it to others. Because the people of this world are not going to see the spirit life. It's hid from them. It's invisible to them. So the only way I can bring spirit life to them is through the conformity of this thing that is seen, this thing that is temporal, this thing that is mortal, this thing that is fleshly. I'm going to have to bring spirit life to that. But if I just bring it into a thought, oh, I'm spiritual, I'm a son of God, I can't sin, man, this and that, that ain't going to move people. You go tell people that, man, I'm a son of God, I'm eternal, I can't die, I've passed from death unto life. You know, they're going to say, yeah, you know, that's a nice little saying you got there. You know, I've heard about Santa Claus too. I'm not mocking the word of God. But what I'm saying is, but they can see the conformity to that word. When they see you walking in love, they see you walking in power, they see you walking in peace, they see you walking in a sound mind, they see that you're not moved by the beggarly elements of this world, you're not moved by the fleshly emotions and capacities of mankind, that you're set apart from that, you're different from that, you love people that hate, you love people that are bitter, you love people that have no peace, and you're just reaching and helping and continuing on. Now we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. But again, as I've said so many times from the sacred desk, we've taken the fruit of the Spirit to an intellectual comprehension. Because you know what they are, because you can name them, you can talk about the gifts, or you can talk about these great people or great things that you got the fruit of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, it goes way beyond that. I could take and hand you a textbook this morning, and you could read about aviation. Never seen an airplane, never sat in an airplane, never been in one, never broke the gravitational pull in an aircraft. And you could read and read and read, and you could sit down with aviators. And you could talk about the fundamentals of flight. You could talk about the maneuvers of flight and the things that make an airplane fly. And you could talk so precise, but then yet you wouldn't be able to fly an airplane. You see, it makes you different than the pilot. The pilot can fly the airplane, but you have an intellectual understanding. And the thing is you may have an intellectual understanding about God and the spirit world and the things of God and the things that move God and things like that. But if you don't have the spirit of life, if the Spirit of the Holy Ghost isn't living in you. I made mention to a man one day, we were in my home, and I said, you know, a man could be a drunk, a dope addict. Naturally, concept of thought, the man is just nothing in this world. He's never been nothing, never come to nothing, never had nothing, just been a beggar and a con man, this and that, never even heard the Word of God. But then yet there's something in his heart that's pulling and tugging on him, saying there's more, there's more, there's more, and he stumbles across. He may be walking down the street, walking by and thinking, man, I'm hungry. See us out here working in the yards or something and come over to you and say, sir, man, I'm sorry to bother you, but I'm hungry. I haven't had anything to eat today. Well, let me help you out here a minute. Come on up here and sit on my back porch. Let me make you a sandwich. Let me get you some soup. And while he's sitting there, I start sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to him. Now, let me tell you something. As I'm sharing the gospel of Christ, and all of a sudden he's drawn, we hear the stories about the eagle pecking around in the barnyard, and then one day the eagle flies over, and it takes and mounts up, you know, the wings, and I'm not relative to this thing, and goes, and this man finds out, I'm not relative to the alcohol, I'm not relative to the whoremongering around, I'm not relative to this world. And all of a sudden he heard something, and the spirit of life entered into him. He couldn't explain what just took place. He couldn't tell you what happened. But something changed in his heart. Something changed in his mind. There's something that took place. It's life. He received life. There's a man that's full of the Holy Ghost. He could not talk to you about nothing. He could not explain to you, say, hey, I want you to read a story over in Psalms. What Psalms? I want you to go over and read in Genesis. I think it'll help you where you're at. Well, what is Genesis? Who's Adam? He may not have any intellectual understanding, zero, zilch of the Word of God in the Scripture, but he received life. There was something that moved in his spirit that gave him life. See, brother, this is what's exciting. We're not excited because of a knowledge, we're excited because of a life, a spirit. The spirit of life changes the way you think. The spirit of life brings understanding, yes, to your intellect. It's going to bring some understanding and some things about the Scriptures and the Word for we could teach and help other people. But it has to be by the Spirit. Because I could take the Word, the letter of the Word, and destroy and kill and hurt. And people leave the church broken, discouraged. But I just brought the Word. But see, we got to bring the Spirit of the Word. There's a difference there. You say, well, we know the difference. Then let's show it. That's what we have to do. We got to bring it to an understanding or a manifestation. Verse 8, howbeit then, when you knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God. Now you remember me preaching a message on this? You say, I know the Lord, but does he know you? There's a scripture right there that confirms that word. It says, but now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You ever done that, brothers? God knows we all have. You observe days and months and times and years. But I'm afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon your labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, as I am, for I am as ye are. You have not injured me at all. Find the mind of this, brethren. Ye know how, through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not. How come you despise it so much? You see, the thing is because we're blind when we despise and envy. It says, and my temptations, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Oh, you mean you received this man as an angel of the Lord, and yet he had his problems in his flesh? Oh yeah, but you were taken and you were seeking after the children of God. You were seeking after the Christians and you were trying to put them to life. I can't receive you. See, there's revelation in this. There's ways to find out who you are in God when you can love somebody like Brother Rob. If you have troubles loving me, you don't have the Spirit of God. Verse 14 again, and my temptation which was in my flesh you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and had given them unto me. I am therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. The zealous affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealous, affected always in good things. And not only when I'm present with you, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, and the one by a bondmaid, and the other by a free woman. We need to understand the revelation of this. But who was the bondwoman? Was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was born by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. Okay, bringing it out of the allegory into a revelation now. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem. Now, why does it answer to Jerusalem, brethren? You see, we got to bring this to a present day truth in your life. This is talking about every single man and woman and child that's sitting in this church this morning. You have troubles learning and receiving things because you already know too much. For this Hagar, verse 25 again, is Mount Sinai in Arabia an answer to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Eve was considered the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. So even so it is now. Even so it is now today, brothers and sisters. Even so it's today. Let's come to the revelation of this mind. Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are no children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now, the thing is if we would try to bring this into a revelation of a present-day truth, you know you have an inner man and an outer man. You have one that's born under the bondage of this beggarly elements of this world. You have another one birthed, brothers and sisters, that is free. You say, I'm free indeed, praise God. But are you free? Are you free from this bondwoman? Are you free from the beggarly elements of this world? Are you free from the mind that destroys and kills and continually in the mind of flesh? You say, I've got the revelation of the Lord. I'm a Christian. I'm a son of God. I'm born again. I'm born of God. I say, praise God. But then yet, what mind is relevant in your life, in your daily activities, in your actions, on your job sites, on your job places, or when you're out and about? What mind is manifesting? Is it the mind of Christ? How do I differentiate between the mind of Christ? How do I differentiate between the free mind and the bond mind? How do I differentiate between these? Let me tell you, it's easy to tell a mind that's free and a mind that's in bondage. It's easy to tell. But why can't we discern that? You say, well, that comes through discernment. Well, brother, let me explain something. A bond mind, a mind that's not free, can speak as if it's free, can speak as if it's got freedom and liberty. Let me share some things with you that I've experienced over the years. There's people that leave holiness works like this, and they get out there in the world and get involved with these other religious people. Says, man, it feels so good to get out from under the bondage of that holiness church. It feels so good to get out of that thing. Man, we've got liberty. We've got freedom. You know, nobody's telling us that we have to dress a certain way. Nobody's telling us we can't wear paint and powder. Nobody's telling, man, well, I'm finally set free. Hallelujah. Now, do you see the reversal of what I'm saying? And they're expressing freedom, and I'm in bondage over here. They look at me as ritualistic. They look at me as in bondage to the law, that I'm preaching a law because I preach do's and don'ts. Does your liberty in the Spirit bring you to reject the Scriptures and the Word of God? Paul said you plucked out your eyes for me one time, and now I'm your enemy by preaching the Word. So was Paul not preaching freedom anymore? Was he come to a place that he is now not preaching a freedom? You know, it's like, man, now you're putting us in bondage. I'm not of the bondwoman. So here he must evidently be being accused of putting them in bondage. Is this right? He has to be being accused of this in his expressions and the things that we find written here. But you see, how do you differentiate? How do you discern? How do you see? And there's people that make analyzations, and they think that they're making them through the mind of revelation, through the mind of the Spirit, or the mind of Christ, or through a religious or Christian mindset. But then yet they're so engrossed there. Let me ask you a question. If you come to the revelation that you are the free and birth of the free, now we're talking about born again, right? Okay, so now you're born again. So what does this do with the flesh? What does it do with that other mind? What does it do with the fleshly appetites, the fleshly pleasures? What does it do with the fleshly motivations? What does it do with the fleshly mind? You know, is it a magical thing that you're born again? And now all of a sudden, because you were born again, you said, I confess Jesus as my God. I confess Him as my Lord. I confess Him as my Savior. I've received Him in my heart. I've said this prayer, and I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. So this other one is just discounted and gone. Now, if I take you over in the spirit world, I can say, you're right. It's gone. Man, in the spirit, I can speak by the spirit, you know, and there is no bondage. There is no flesh. There is no animosity. There is no bitterness. There is no jealousy. There is no envy. There is no sin. See, I could go there with you. Praise God, I love that. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. But you know what? I'm in a warfare and I'm in a battle. I'm in a fight. Well, Brother Rob, you need to come to peace. I didn't say I didn't have peace. I got peace as I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I got peace when they speak all manner of evil against me. I got peace and joy and love and salvation. You see, it doesn't matter what's happening in the flesh. It's like the sister, the doctor, basically you've got a death sentence. Man, this cancer is, I mean, it's in a state in your mind that just something like that could have me be dead in a second. But she said, I got peace, man. And she told her mother, she said, Mom, I don't understand why, but I've got peace. You know, if the Lord takes me, glory to God, hallelujah, I got peace. And it's such a powerful peace. But why is it the thing, oh gosh, I'm dying. Or oh gosh, I could die. Oh man, and this and that. She said, no, the Lord's got His way. What? And see, there's a peace. Let me see, what is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's peace. He's the Spirit of peace, isn't He? So when you got the revelation of the Lord, you got peace. This peace that I'm speaking about isn't affected by the water coming in and everybody's screaming, man, we're going to perish out here and everybody's been on water. But He had peace. His peace wasn't relative to the surroundings. It wasn't relative to the waves. It wasn't relative to the water. It wasn't relative to the minds around Him. The minds around Him, we're going to perish. We're going to perish. They're all bailing out. Wake Him up. Wake the Master up. Paul was in a boat. Boat was getting torn to pieces. They're throwing up over their supplies. They're throwing everything over. He had peace, didn't he? At one point, they're thinking, because of the things that this man has done, maybe he's the one that we should throw overboard, huh? Like Jonah. But he had peace. And he said, no, don't do that. We're going to throw these prisoners over. He said, no, don't do that. He said, the Lord showed me there won't be one die. Won't lose a one. Lost the boat. They didn't lose a one. Peace, brothers. Peace. Peace is a fruit, brothers and sisters. It is a manifestation of a spirit life. Now, if there's no peace there, then where's the Spirit at? If His Spirit is peace, if His Spirit is holiness, if we don't see the fruit of His Spirit, then where's the problem at? Can Brother Ed do something to destroy my fruit? Can he attack me in such a way that it destroys my fruit? Can he attack me in such a way that it causes me to lose my spirit? There's something wrong. That would be weakness. Why does God allow things in your lives? If all things are worked after the counsel and the order of the Lord. So if this little sister with cancer, you say, well, this is the order of the Lord. Why would God allow something like this to happen? It sounds to me like God allowed His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to go through the terrible, hideous, ungodly, wretched brutality of Calvary that I could have life. Now the thing is, as we were ministering a message the other evening about we being the sons of God, and the thing is what is God going to allow us today? He allows crucifixion. He allows suffering. I shared the story where Brother Pike was ministering and talked about the man that was beaten on the steps for preaching the gospel of Christ. He said, the Lord suffered that. The Lord suffered him to take a beating up there for we could bring a revelation to the present day world that, hey, you know, we're suffering for the namesake of the Lord Jesus. He's preaching Jesus Christ and they beat him. He said, God suffered that to happen. The Lord allowed that to happen. But when the man mocked God, he didn't suffer that. So these things are present. Are you of the bondwoman? Yes. I can't confess that. Are you of the free woman? Yes. But you see, brethren, I've got to recognize the part of me that is in a bondage to the beggarly elements of this world, for I know how to deal with it, for I know how to conquer it. I know how to mortify it. I know how to kill it. You know, we talk about resurrection. I want to be the resurrection of Christ. I want to come forth this morning with the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ. I want to come forth with the joy and the victory of salvation. I want the exuberance. I want the peace. I want the charisma of a Christian. I want the charisma of life and the peace of God. Amen. But there's another thing that's in bondage to this world that wakes up in the morning with me.
That's right.
Every morning. Amen. You say, well, you poor thing, Brother Rob. You know, if you could just come to where I'm at. Brothers and sisters, if you're in a different place than what I'm speaking about, it's because you crucified that mind when you got up this morning. You said, shut up. You know, you're not going to do this. You're not going to kill. You're not going to steal. You're not going to destroy. Because that's what the other mind is. It came to kill, steal, and destroy. You see, brothers and sisters, the mind of Christ, through the obedience, brings honor. Do you understand that? And if I try to bring honor to myself by showing dishonor to you, that's not the way Christ did it. Did Jesus come in and say, look, you're a sorry scumbag. You are a worthless no good. I know that He rebuked and offered rebuke to the religious people, to the Sadducees. He offered reproof to these scribes. He offered reproof to the Sanhedrin. He offered reproof to them, but did He deal that way with humanity? No. He spoke life to them. But if you expose weakness and failures, does it make you unnecessarily strong? No, it doesn't. It makes you weaker than the one that you're exposing. And I got Bible for that. We got to find the fruit, the mind, the revelation. Who are you? I'm a Savior. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you're a Savior, brothers and sisters? Then what is the attributes of a Savior? To seek that which is weak. To seek that which is lost. To strengthen that which is weak. And to find that which is lost. And to redeem it and to bring it in. Where do you and where do I walk on weakness to make us strong? You know, it'd be real nice if I wanted to be the great muscle man and I get a bunch of 95-year-old folks out of the nursing home, you know, and we get them all in here and sit over, man, look at me, son, I'm strong. Woohoo! Why would I compare myself, my strength, to that? You know, naturally speaking, I get my brother, and I get beside him, and I say, oh my, God have mercy. You know, so I compare myself to this weightlifter, and I'm weak. I compare myself to a feeble elderly man, and I'm strong. I'm all messed up. That's not what we do. We have responsibilities. You have responsibilities. We're sons of God. What do sons of God do? They bring life. What do the sons of the devil do? They bring death. They accuse. They kill. They steal. They destroy. Is this correct? So now I got a revelation of what the bondwoman is. I got a revelation of what the free woman is. I got a revelation, you know, one born, you know, after Hagar, the bondwoman. The other one was in travail. The other one was pleading with the Lord to have children and to bring forth children. Have you done that? Lord, I want to bring forth the fruit of the womb. I want to bring forth the fruit of salvation. I want to bring forth the fruit of the free woman. Have you travailed? It says this right here. Have you travailed? It says, for it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry that thou travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. There's a wide broad path of destruction and there's a narrow way. I mean, what's it saying here? Brothers and sisters, it's in your spirit. You got to travail. I want to bring forth the attributes of Jesus Christ. I want to bring forth the attributes of the one that's free. And when you're free, you're walking in the freedom of the Spirit of God. You're walking in this freedom. You're walking in the joy of the Lord. You're walking in peace of mind. You're walking in salvation. You're esteeming Brother Ed and Brother Randy and these brethren in a great way. These are the sons of God. They were birthed with me. They were born, and Jesus done the same thing for them that he done for me. He's no respecter of person. He raised them up. He made them sons of God. Amen. Wouldn't it be lonely if you was the only one in heaven? You know, Jesus, look what he done to have fellowship. I think of Brother Pike, the things that he really suffered and did for he could have brethren that could fellowship him. And he loved to find fellowship in the Spirit. See, Brother Rob could come in one day and he says, hey, man, you know, I discern the Spirit. I can fellowship Brother Rob today. I can fellowship him because he's walking in the mind of Christ. And he's speaking in the mind of Christ. He's got the joy in his spirit. He's got salvation. He's got the Spirit of God. But the next day I could walk in and he looks at me and says, wow, this bondwoman's son just come in the door. I'm telling you the truth. Has anybody ever witnessed that? Come on, I got Bible for this, brother. Well, yeah, I can't confess that I'm of the bondwoman. Well, I can confess for you that you were born after the flesh with the sentence of death. You were born after the flesh with this same old mind that's enmity with God. You were born with the mind of carnality, of death, and shaping in iniquity. And if you could understand that, then you could put your attentions to making sure that you kill that man and bring forth the life of the free woman, which is the mind of Christ, the revelation of the Lord, the joy of salvation. What is that for? If I could be somebody? No, it's for you could do something for somebody. Brother Chuck said he read an intellectual thing. They did a study. Does money bring happiness? It doesn't bring happiness. Some people that have more money than they can spend in the rest of their life, they got their fists so clenched on it, they're afraid that somebody's going to get it. And they're not happy. Money does not bring happiness. But they did a study on this, and they found that it does on one condition. Now, this is a secular study now. There's one way that they said that money brings happiness, and it's the only time it brings happiness is when you're sharing it with somebody else. Isn't that something? It takes the carnal, secular mind to bring forth the revelation of the Lord. I think that's a wonderful study. By giving. The Bible said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And if you're just receiving and receiving and receiving and receiving, then you're like the Dead Sea. You find a sea with life. And prosperity is because it's giving out the other end. It's got an aqueduct feeding in, and it's got something coming out the other way. And it's replenishing and bringing life. This is what we are in Christ. If I'm receiving life of Christ, I'm giving life. If I'm not giving life and I'm speaking death, then I'm receiving death. It's what I do. What was the message a few weeks ago, a couple weeks back? I know who I am because I know who you are. I know that I've got life because I see life in you. There's many sick and afflicted among because they don't know how to discern the body of Christ. What kind of sick and affliction? Sick in the mind. Sick in the mind, jealousy, envy, strife, bitterness, hate. No rest, no peace. Brethren, I know a lot of people in this kind of condition. I'm one of them if I yield to that. But I got to mortify and kill that out and say, let the mind of Christ live. And I find joy to speak life. I find joy to encourage others. I find joy to help other people to obtain, to receive. That's where I find the blessing. If I just come in, man, I'm a son of God. I'm living forever. Man, it's a small flock. Y'all going to hell, man, but I got it. Woohoo. Man, what kind of joy is that? Well, I'm the one. You ain't nothing. Amen. I got life. Me and Jesus going to be sitting up there on the throne together, man. And you're going to be in hell burning forever. What kind of life is that? I say, brethren, let's all enter together. Amen. Let's come together in unity and one mind and one accord that we could rejoice together. I enjoy friends. Amen. Not the natural carnal concept of just getting together and playing cards and doing this and laughing and, you know, like the crackling of the thorns in the fire. No, I'm talking about people that when you're in need, that could strengthen and help you. Or that when they're in need, you could strengthen and help them. Some like the friends that are helping them, but they never want to be the one helping them. You see, this is what unity is. This is what a brotherhood's for. You know what Sister Barbara's doing with the problem with the leg? You know what puts another load on the other leg? I've had some physical infirmities and problems, and the chiropractor says, well, your body's adapting for that. Your body is, you know, it's putting more of a load over here because of the weakness of this. You see, what about the mind? If I find the weakness of this natural mind, then it's going to bring the load over to the mind of Christ. Amen? And it can handle it. It can handle all power. It has all power, all strength. But what we do is because the instantaneous results of carnality, we tend to go with carnality because it's instantaneous results. The mind of the Spirit sometimes, it can be instantaneous, brothers, but in many times it's hid from the wise and the prudent and it stays back. You understand that? And you got to learn. You know, so it's right here we talk about again a travail. Brother Paul was in a travail, wasn't he? Some of us had the privilege and the pleasure to walk with Brother Pike. You know, that was a man that was in travail. He was in travail in the Spirit to bring forth. Paul made the statement. He said, I travail until Christ be formed in you. You know, it would be real easy to go move off up to the mountains or move off somewhere where nobody's around. You get your word, you get in the Bible, you get in the Spirit, and you pray. You know, you have no complications and no problems. That's selfishness. It really is. You know, wouldn't it be nice to just talk about, boy, the joy of salvation and the peace and things like that and never enter into travail with somebody else to help them come through? You know, there's women that call themselves midwives, and they go into the labor rooms with the other women, and they work with them and help them and coach them through these things. You know, that's what we have to do. We got to help people to travail and to learn to travail through the mind of separation here. You realize that when you have a mind that has been so trained, and it's a mind that can accomplish. And naturally speaking, let's remove ourselves from the spirit mind for a minute. There's some people in the natural dimensions and natural realm that have a mind that knows how to accomplish. They're go-getters. They're capable. They know how to work. They know how to labor. They know how to train. They know how to teach, or they know how to work and manage people. And they can accomplish great things in life. I mean, the world is running with this mind, the natural mind. And there's people that do that. And then all of a sudden, they start hearing about this other mind. Well, I know how to do this. As I make statements, I said the churches of America, the deacons in these churches, are businessmen. Hey, this man is a manager. He runs a business in town. He's very successful. He's got a good reputation outside because he's a businessman. Let me tell you, there's people that are lost, don't know God. And they've got good moral standards. They're not born again, but they got good moral standards. They're faithful to their wives. They're good fathers. They're good mothers. I know the Bible said there's none good, but I'm talking in natural standards of what the way the world judges things. They're just good people. They even help people. They're even involved in charities. You see what I'm saying? And we would measure it out that way. But they know how to make things work. But then all of a sudden they come to a mind of Christ. And their mind works. Their mind sets them apart. Their mind esteems them. Their mind lifts them up. Their mind puts them in the newspapers. Their natural mind and their accomplishment gives them praise. Gives them certificates on their walls. And people honor them. People pay them more money. People desire to see or to hear them if they're speaking or whatever. And this is all in the realms of carnality and flesh. And all of a sudden we've got to come to another mind. One that thinks 100% differently than the mind that we learn to achieve in and to grab in. And then when we start exercising this mind, it's many times hid from them wise and the prudent. Because it's not instantaneous. Because it's the mind that brings forth fruit. And fruit, when you plant a fruit tree seed out here in the ground, it's not instantaneous. Is it? You put it in the ground, you got to wait for it to come up. You got to watch for it and cultivate and do it. Now we're talking about this other mind. So what are we going to do? We're going to make a transition. We're going to make a transition and find out where my decisions are being made of. Where is my conversations beginning from? What makes me think the way I think about Brother Ed? What makes me think the way I think about Brother Gabriel? Is it from an intellectual concept of me being better than him? See, I'm automatically carnal. That's mind of death. But am I thinking of him in a way that I could see and encourage the gifts and the callings in their life and also strengthen and encourage that, but also help that and then take that and receive it over to this way that it could help us unify together? Now we're talking about revelation of the Lord. Boy, Jesus loved me. Was I worthy of love when he loved me, when he washed me, when he set me apart? Was I worthy? No. Did I earn it? No. He saved me when I was yet still in my sin. So why did he do it? Out of love and kindness. Well, he done it because he saw through the foreknowledge of God that you were set apart and you were a little bit different. He's the one who set me apart. Amen. We read in the scriptures Friday night that he said that he knew that Judas was going to betray him when he first met him. Didn't he? Amen. It wasn't something that just kind of evolved, so to speak, or something that took place. He said he knew from the beginning. And there was a purpose that he chose him. There was a reason he chose him. You see, we got to learn to submit to the things of God. And the thing is, if you are a Christian and you're going to submit to the will and the mind of Christ, you're going to realize that by submission to that will, there's going to be some suffering. But we've come to this ideology that we say sometimes that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he'll deliver us from of all. But let's don't forget that there's afflictions. You know, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Well, this is the mind, boy, who's God and lifted up. It was a mind that was esteeming the others better and greater, and he was a servant. He came to serve. Do you have the mind of a servant? Do you have a mind to serve your enemy? Do you have the mind to serve the weak? You see, we want to make this mind of Christ into such a way that it makes us big, it makes us small. I'm telling you. You say, I don't believe that. I do believe that. Jesus was seeking after no reputation. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? So if I'm seeking after reputation, that means I want to be big. But if I'm seeking after no reputation, I don't want to be big. I want to be small, make you big. He laid hands on him and healed him. He said, please don't tell nobody. He didn't want to be glorified on this side. The glory wanted to go to the Father. We're talking about the mind of Christ here. We're talking about a mind of a free woman and a mind of a bond woman. Which one are you manifesting? You have to choose that. Why does the Bible say, choose ye this day of who you're going to serve? I could choose the beggarly elements, or I could choose the bondwoman mind. Or I could choose the mind of Christ, the mind of liberty, the mind of freedom, the mind of peace. Amen? Yeah. Who are we? Who are you? Who am I? Who does men say that I am? The Lord Jesus once asked. Say, you don't want to know what men say about you. Well, I know what men said about Jesus too. Let's go right on into the fifth chapter of Galatians. You're all very acquainted with these scriptures. It says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I Paul say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Think about that. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well, who did hinder you, that you should not obey the truth. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded. He's evidently dealing with people to differentiate between these two minds. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would that ye were even cut off, which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for the occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Tell you, verse 13 right there, if you could really find the revelation of that. This is a very violated scripture. People with what they say have revelation. People that say they're Christians. People that say that they have a liberty because they're walking in some kind of a special revelation or some kind of spirit. But I find verse 13 very violated among people that I love that are friends that said under the same pastor I did. I'm going to read it one more time. We'll go on to verse 14. It says, for brethren, if you have been called unto liberty, only use not the liberty for the occasion to the flesh, only to the spirit, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Have I done that? God help me. Have you done that? It's easy for you to apply this to me, but can you apply it to you? It's easy for you to look at my weaknesses and my failures. Well, I really don't see the fruit of the Spirit in you like I think I should. You're a preacher, Brother Rob. Okay, well, I'm a failure, so that justifies you? You still need to read the script the same way I do. People think, because I'm up here preaching this message, that I've got the, you know, that I'm preaching this because I've conquered it, because I'm walking in the power of salvation, because I'm a son of God. Brothers and sisters, I'm preaching this message, so I've got to apply it to the weakness of my man. And I've got to say, God, help me, strengthen me, anoint me, deliver me, heal me. I've got to warn the same thing. I go home and I'm heavy in my spirit thinking, God, have mercy on me. I don't preach these things because I'm a conqueror, and I am a conqueror in Christ. I'm preaching these things because he's a conqueror. You understand that? And I'm in the same travail, the same warfare that you're in. I got to apply the word of God. Just because I preach it doesn't mean I've achieved it. Verse 14 again says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. Well, I tell you what, you'd really love your neighbors. I mean, you love yourself. You take care of yourself. I want to go for a drive. I want something to eat. I want a steak. I want some sushi. I want to do this. I want to do that. How you love yourself. If you took care of your wife like you do yourself, man, you'd have a strong marriage. If you take care of your husband like you do yourself, you'd have a strong marriage. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How many has done something for their neighbor this week? What is a neighbor? Somebody lives next door? Well, we're sitting with them today in church, and they're all around us all the time. Have we done something? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's only one word, it says. In one word. How long would it take to bring the fruit of that word? The manifestation of that word? I mean, it's evident we're all failing. You know, we're seeking after our own. We're seeking after our business. We're seeking after our fame. We're seeking after our popularity. We're seeking after our homes. We're seeking after our finances. We're seeking after. You say, Rob, don't be rebuking us. We try to help you. We come over and we work at the church. I say, praise God. Well, we're going to talk about the mind of Christ now, huh? I say, man, you're sons of God. Glory to God. You passed from death unto life. I was talking to the man a second ago. We're all men, aren't we? We all got the same mind and the same heart, and we're fashioned after the manly part. And it's that part of that bond woman. We've got to realize that. We conquer it. We can travail against it and travail until this other mind comes forth. And this other mind's going to travail to help the other, to do good to the other, to speak highly of the other, to esteem them greater than yourself. Now we're talking about the revelation mind. The revelation mind doesn't walk on another one to get up. It puts the other one up. When you walk on another one to make you bigger, it shows that you ain't in that mind. That's the mind of the world. That's the mind of the bond. They find strength by killing another. They find strength by showing the other's weaknesses. That's the way the beast world works. The mind of Christ doesn't work that way. It's the beast mind that exposes weakness. It's the beast mind. Because the beast, if you go into the beast world, it's going to attack the weak one in the flock or in the herd. It's going to go after that one. It's going to devour it and kill it. You know, as a shepherd, I try to gather the people together. I do my best. I try to pull them together. But if there's one weak that's drifting away from the mind of unity of a brotherhood, the beast will always get it and grab it and find it and kill it and devour it. So where's the fault go? Is it in the weak one or is it in the flock? Is it in the herd? Is it in the mind? Is it in the revelation? Sometimes you have to leave the 99 to go after one. Verse 15, it says, but if ye bite, you devour one another. Take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Now we just discount the verse 15. I think they should have deleted that out of the scriptures. Sure, it doesn't apply to me. So I'm a son of God, but if I die in the devours that take this service, shows that I'm in another mind. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if I'm fulfilling the lust of the flesh, would I safely be able to say that I'm not walking in the Spirit? Now I have the ability when I get up this morning to walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. Can anybody contest that? And we all know that, right? Brother Dale got up this morning, he could say, you know what? I'm going to walk in the Spirit today. This is a choice, brethren. It's a choice that we have to consciously make every day. Let's go on here just a minute. Verse 15, I'll read again. We'll go right on to 16. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Then I say then, walk in the Spirit, that ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now it's pretty easy to find the sons of God in the revelation here. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. So then you cannot do the things that you would. So if I am manifesting the flesh to prove to you that I'm spiritual, then I've got some real problems here. Do you agree with that? And if I'm walking in the vanity of the flesh mind, and I'm drawing the strength of the flesh mind, then the thing is that I'm just manifestation of what I truly am. I've got to apply this to me now. You don't have to apply it to you, but I've got to apply it to me. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now many times we take the second part of that verse, I'm not under the law. Brother Rob's trying to bring me under the law because he's always preaching do's and don'ts. He's legalistic, he's judgmental, he's ritualistic, and he's always bringing me under the law. That's a common interpretation of Brother Rob. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now see, the thing is if you're led by the Spirit, you're not going to perceive that preaching like that. I'm telling you. Now I find here in the Scriptures that he's doing the same thing Brother Paul is. He is exposing all the way through these last two chapters, these two different minds, these two different worlds. Now you can exclude yourself and say, well, I'm not of the flesh, I'm of the Spirit. And I say, well, praise God, then you walk in the Spirit and quit fulfilling the lust of the flesh. But if I find the fleshly angers, fleshly animosities, fleshly vengeance, fleshly jealousy, fleshly envy, fleshly strife, if I find drunkenness, if I find smoking, I find cursing, I find all of these things in your life, then you tell me that you're walking in the Spirit? Who are you talking to, me? Oh, I'm a conqueror, Brother Rom. You know, yes, I am a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. Yes, I've passed from death unto life, but I'm still in a war and a fight and a travail. But how long am I going to yield to the beggarly elements of the flesh and the flesh mind? The Bible teaches us that who you yield your members to are who you are of. So if I keep yielding to the members of the flesh, pretty soon it's going to be made known and manifest that I am of the bondwoman and that I am of the flesh. And the son of perdition is living and dwelling and manifesting in me. He's there. Well, if you were born again, it wouldn't be that way. No, you just don't understand. I'm sorry. If you would condescend down to the travail realm and the fight, then you would understand that you are more than a conqueror. Why am I more than a conqueror? Because of what Jesus done? Yeah, is it because of what Jesus done? He gave me a spirit of power. But what did he give me the spirit of power for? For I could fight. Why did he make me a good soldier for Christ? For I could fight. Why did he give me the weapons of warfare that aren't carnal? For I could fight. Why did he give me the sword of the spirit and the shield of faith? For I could fight and exercise. What am I exercising against? The bondwoman. The child of the bondwoman. The child that lays within the members of my flesh. That's where the enemy's at. You're not my enemy. If you are, I love you and do good to you. But my enemy lays within the members of my own birth, of my first birth. You can exclude me and stick me out on an island. I'm all by myself. I'm in the same fight, the same travail. You might show up at my doorstep, and you might be in the flesh, and you might be the enemy of God. Oh yeah, that creates me a problem. When I get done with you, if I pull my revolver out and blast you, I still got the warfare and the travail. See, the unity of us in the mind of Christ, we bring strength. The unity of us in the flesh, we bring death. It's the same way. And we could all strengthen one another in carnality. And we could all sit back and say, man, we're the cream of the crop. We're the ones. Man, all these other churches are going to hell and it's just us and we alone. And this, that, what good is that? And then we could strengthen each other in the mind of death and we all die and perish, thinking that we're the ones. But we got to come to the mind of revelation and what it's for. What is revelation? It's revealing. And so oftentimes we say, you know, well, I pray that the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ be made known in me. Let me tell you something. The spirit of revelation is going to do the same thing in you that it done in Brother Pike and Brother Branham and Brother Paul and Brother Jesus. It's going to do the same thing. What is the revelation? The mind to suffer, the mind to be persecuted, the mind to be crucified, the mind to give life that others could have life, the mind to lift up others and to make them. That's the mind of revelation. And if the mind of revelation doesn't walk on carcasses to get to the top, it lays its life down that others could step on it to get to the top. We're talking about revelation. We've mistaken it for knowledge. It says, but and if. Two big words. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. But if you're not led of the Spirit, you're under the law. Is that wrong to say? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such alike, of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in the time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, where are those things that we just read about laying? They're laying within the members of your flesh. So now we're talking about, you know, well, I don't have these things. No, those things are laying within the members of your flesh. Every one of those things I just read is laying in every man and every woman. It is the fruit of the bondwoman. Okay, now the thing is you can see these things, but the only thing that you can do is conquer them, travail against them, push against them, fight against them. Now you're revealing the mind of Christ. You're revealing the Christ, the hope of glory. You're revealing the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ because you have put those things under your feet. You have travailed against those things. You've conquered those things. That's the revelation of the Lord. You see, what was the revelation of Jesus Christ? You say the resurrection. But he had to die to resurrect. Now the thing is I have to die to these other things so that I can see Christ resurrect. Again, the Bible says the son of perdition has to be revealed before Christ could be revealed. Okay, so I'm bringing it to a present day truth. I've got to recognize that Brother Rob has idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies laying in the members of my first birth. And I've got to say, you know what? I can't look the other way. I can't hide myself. I can't convince myself in my mind that this isn't laboring or warring against me or trying to destroy me or trying to kill me or trying to choke out or kill out the Christ or put the Christ to death. They tried to put him to death then or trying to put him to death now. We can understand the crucified way then. We got to understand the crucified way now. What is the crucified way? I've got to mortify. I've got to crucify. I've got to kill these things out. Now the thing is, because of my confession, I'm a son of God. Oh, because of my confession, I'm a Christian. Because of my confession, I'm born of God. Because of my confession, I expressed with my mouth. I believed in my heart. I'm a son of God. A son of God conquers these things. It's not because of the expression that you say you're a son of God. It's because of the manifestation that you are a son of God. A son of God conquers. Because why? He's more than a conqueror. It's not a head knowledge of a retention. It's a manifestation of a deed. And a manifestation of killing and mortifying and coming to life. Jesus was resurrected and came and walked among men. He was seen of 500 and walked among the men for 40 days. He resurrected. There was a fruit of conquering of death. There was a fruit of Him walking among men after the death. Now, brothers and sisters, I say I've been crucified with Christ. The life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. What is that faith? It is a manifestation, brothers and sisters, of the power of the Spirit of God to conquer these things. One might say, well, those things are all simple. Drunkenness, I don't believe in. Don't touch alcohol, but you're drunk on the cares of the world. Adultery, I've got one wife, I married her, I was a virgin when I married her, and I've never had another. You know, I'm not an adulterer, but you love the world. And you're an adulterer in God because of the love you have for the world. See, we got to look into these things. Say, wait a minute, I got to conquer these things. Let me tell you, when a man walks in a door that hasn't been a Christian, you know, yeah, he's looking at the actual deeds of drunkenness, of alcohol. But then yet, after he comes to that, there's still something laying in the members. You know, Jesus brought it down. You know, you say that you're a murderer because you took somebody's life by the sword, you die by the sword. But he said, no, because you don't love your brother. So we got to apply this. You see, I could get into this simplistic mindset that I'm a son of God, praise God, I'm born of God. I won't speak about these things because it makes me weak. I speak about these things because it makes me strong. You see, anything, the Bible said, the unseen things of the spirit world are revealed by what we see. Now, so America's going to war. We got to train about our enemy that's breaching our borders and coming on land. Does that make me weak or make me strong to talk about my enemy? Does it make me weak or make me strong to talk about his tactics of warfare and what he does? Does it make me weak or make me strong? I get strong. I'm gathering the information to know how to attack the enemy, the adversary. To know that this man has breached my borders and he's dressing as an American. And he's walking as an American, but he's there to kill and destroy me. So I've got to learn his tactics and what he's doing, for I know how to find him and see him. Now the thing is you are a soldier for Christ in a continual travail, a continual warfare. Brother Pike made it very clear, as long as there's people in the flesh, and that you're in the flesh, there's going to be problems. But the problems to a son of God has no problems. Why is he talking out both sides of his mouth? Because he's speaking in both worlds. You and your flesh are going to have problems. You're going to have complications. You're going to have weakness. You're going to have things at war against the mind of Christ. Your flesh is going to want up to be preeminent. Your flesh is going to want to come rise up to be better, to be stronger, to be recognized, to be glorified, to be lifted up. That's the same thing Satan done. He wanted to be lifted up, wanted to be esteemed as something great. This is why he was cast out. You understand that? And this is laying within your members of your first birth. He knows how to manipulate through your members of your first birth. This message is not excluded. This is a message to all flesh. Some of us, you say, have conquered more than others. I say yea and amen. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Some have conquered more so than some of these things. But how much of it do you not conquer? What does more than a conqueror do, brothers? Huh? So if I fail these things today and I bring the attributes of the flesh, do I give up and just say, well, I'm dying and going to hell, just live it up in the world? That's the weakness of your mind. But then yet, when I get knocked down, I say, wait a minute. Why, God? Can I blame it on the one that knocked me down? Or could I blame it on me not being watching? I should have been knocked down. I should have been on guard. I should have had the shield of faith up. Man, a fiery dart went right through the shoulder. Oh, now my arm, I can't use this one. I'm going to fight with this one. But why did the fiery dart hit my shoulder? Because I wasn't holding the shield of faith up. Okay, so now we're just getting into these ritualistics, or, you know, well, yeah, I got the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. Well, do you? Why do we have weapons, brothers? If we're not in a fight and we're not soldiers, why do we have weapons? This will continue warfare. Amen. Where's the enemy at? Where's the adversary at? It's in the members of that bondwoman. That's where it's at. Well, I'm born of God, so that one's dead. Well, I could get with you. And I can say, man, praise God for the finished works of Christ at Calvary perfected me once and for all. Amen. But I could have that kind of confession. I'm talking with some people right now that are friends, that they know the revelational doctrines. They say, man, one told me a few days ago, they said, you know, you wouldn't have got mad at this particular brother if you would have come to the revelation that Brother George taught us, that we born of God can't sin. So I guess the reason that a man is removed from a pastoral position because we're mad? It's not because we're mad, brothers and sisters. We may be grieved and we may be disappointed, but not necessarily mad. You don't have to make actions to do the right thing out of being mad. You can make actions to do the right things out of love. And love says that an individual would have to be removed because it's subverting households and homes and destroying. That's love. You see, Brother Rob goes off into immorality and busting up homes and stuff like that. The love of God would remove me from a position to hurt anybody else and hurt more. So do you have the revelation of Jesus Christ that you are born of God and you can't sin? So Brother Rob's born of God and I can't sin. So does that make it right for me to take Brother Ed's wife or Brother Randy's wife or another woman or whatever? Oh, I can't sin. Brothers and sisters, a revelation of that you can't sin doesn't just change the fact of immorality, and it's only applied as immorality to the flesh or to those sinners, but I'm a son of God in the Spirit, so I could violate homes, I could walk in drunkenness, I could walk in the flesh, but I'm a son of God. Come on now, brethren, this is when you receive the power. He said, go away and tarry there until you're endued with power. The power wasn't a state of mind. The power was an action. I can't say it wasn't a state of mind. It is a state of mind. I got to fix that right now. I'm sorry. It is a state of mind, but the state of mind has got to manifest. If I have a state of mind that I'm a conqueror and I'm getting beat up all the time, you see, we got to rend the veil of these. I had a man come into church, sits back there about where Gabe's sitting, and I preached a message. I said, you've been raped. You've been ravished by every foul, unclean devil that comes through. But I'm a macho man. I'm walking man. I'm bad man. I'm tough. Don't nobody get in my way. But I said, man, I'm looking at you in another mind. You are one of the weakest sissies I've ever seen. And I told him that. I said, you're weak. But see, in the flesh, carries this, you know, chest out. You know, but I saw a sissy. I saw weakness. I know what you think about men that are immoral and ungodly and they're given to the sodomite lifestyle. And you look at them as just weak little sissies. I mean, you know, man with man and this and that. But what about people that are being ravished by demon spirits? That everyone that comes along molests them. Every unclean spirit molests them. Why? Because their walls are down. The walls have been taken down. They got no walls of protection around about them. We need a wall of protection around about us. That comes through the hedge of protection of the Holy Ghost. Well, I pray for this hedge. I pray for this. God grants it to you by the love and the mercy of Christ. But let me tell you something. There's a time that he expects you to be able to fight. They built the walls back with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. Have we built the walls up around us? Brethren, I want to esteem you as children of God, as sons of God. I want to know you after the things of the Spirit, not after the flesh. But you see, it's a conscience effort on your part and my part. Are we sincere? I believe you're sincere. I believe you love the Lord. I believe I love the Lord. I believe I'm sincere. Do I make mistakes? Sure I do. I know you don't, but I do. I'm talking about me right now. If I make a mistake, I would appreciate you to show mercy. If you make a mistake, do you want mercy? Do you know we receive what we give? If I show no mercy, I receive no mercy. Do you realize that? Well, I'm just going to be merciful because I want mercy. So I'm going to love everybody. I'm just going to love everybody and everybody's okay and you're okay, brother. So now I'm going to preach Joel Osteen for the next 1 minute and a half and close. There's a positive side to that. I can't find fault with him. There are just a couple more scriptures. Let's just read on down here and we'll close the service. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Believe the words, thus saith the Lord, yea and amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I want to say a couple things real promptly and we're going to close. Love, brothers and sisters, is going to be unchangeable and unmovable, and it doesn't matter what's coming against it. If hate comes against it, it shows itself stronger. Do you understand that? Love isn't a condition that you love me, I love you. Love is always love. No matter what you do to me, there's still going to be love. This is how we find what the true love of God is. We find the real love of the Spirit. Joy is not because you're joyful and having a good time and everything's going your way and everything's just right. Now I got joy. See, that's fleshly. That's a fleshly, humanistic mindset of what joy is. Hey, man, everything's going good. My lights are burning. I got water, man. My bills are all paid. I got a full tank of gas in my car. Man, I got an income tax check coming back. Woo-hoo, I got joy. That's not joy. That's a superficial joy. And if you're only moved by that kind of joy, you've never come to the joy of the Lord. Again, if I use the scriptures, I said they went out, they were incarcerated, and they went out leaping, it said, with great strides of joy, leaping with joy, that they were going to be beaten. Now, how many of you would have done that? Would have walked out and said, I've been trying to serve this God for 25 years, and this is what I get. I'm going to get beaten. Have your head hanging down. They're going to beat me. The spirit of joy, brothers and sisters, isn't relative to the surroundings. It's something that emanates. You see, there's some people that project light when they're around light, but when they get out in darkness, they have no light. We say they reflect only what they're around. That is not the spirit of light or Christ. But when you are full of the Holy Ghost, it is the spirit of light, and it projects light always. It's not going to quit projecting light when the sun sets. It projects, not reflects. So the thing is with joy, it's the same way. You know joy by your surroundings, if that's not the real joy. It's a counterfeit joy. We say peace. Well, you know, it's really quiet out, and I hear the birds singing. You know, the thunder clouds ain't in the sky, and the blue sky out, and the big cumulus clouds. Quiet. I don't hear the train whistles blowing and the horns honking of town. It's so peaceful. You know, it is so peaceful. Hey, I like that kind of peace, brother. I'm not against that. I like that. But if that's the only way that we know that we've got to create a surrounding around us to have peace, then we don't know what the peace of God is. The peace of God is when the doctor looks you in the eye and says, young man, I'm sorry, but you're eat up with cancer and there's nothing we could do for you. We have no cure for that. And you're going to die. And you look back and smile and say, doc, I can't die. Maybe this old temporal flesh thing might have its days shortened a little bit, but I'm rejoicing in the Lord. My God is good. That's peace. Peace is when the adversary is closing in on you. I can say that when Moses was standing there looking across the Red Sea and they're looking at the dust cloud of the adversary coming upon them, hey, they know what that meant. That was a death sentence. What are you in trouble? And the people are saying, what have you done? Let us out here in the wilderness to die? But he had peace. And he showed them the salvation of the Lord. And he looked at something in his sights that was impossible. And it was made possible by God. He had peace. It don't matter what you're looking at, there's peace. It don't matter if your days are shortened, you have peace. Long suffering. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Do you have it? You want people to suffer long for you, so you have the gift. But we want to be long-suffering for others. Do you have that attribute in your life? Yeah, Brother Rob, I've known you for a long time, man. That makes me long-suffering. I say, good, praise God. Maybe God sent me here to be Judas just for you could practice long-suffering. Gentleness. Well, I got gentleness, man. I went to the hospital, and they just had this little baby, and I took the little thing, the little six-pound baby. I'm so gentle. Is that when we apply the spirit of gentleness? You'll never know these things in your life unless something to the opposite opposes it. Then you'll find it. There has to be an opposing force for you to exercise it. I've talked about boxing. If you're going to be a boxer, they're going to put somebody in the ring. Okay, you're not in competition right now, but they're going to put somebody in the ring with you that is going to teach you how to guard yourself. And yes, he's going to break your guard and knock the snot out of you. Okay? That's what he's supposed to do. Do you think God has sparring partners for you and I? Does he? Or does he want you just to make it in? Or does he want you to be more than a conqueror? Is more than a conqueror just something of an expression? Is receiving the power of the Holy Ghost just an expression? Is being endued with power just as an expression? A sound mind, is it just an expression? An overcomer, is it just an expression? You see, these aren't expressions, these are manifestations. So you're going to have these things come against you for you could exercise Christ. And then you could get the confidence and assurance in him and his spirit. Because it takes his spirit to overcome these others. So as we read here, these things are contrary one to another. So you better read about the idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. You need to understand those things because those are the adversary, the enemy. And it lays within the members of your own mind and your own thoughts. In the beast mind, in the beast world, in the beast carnal mind, the flesh mind, when it conquers and steps and brings blood, it makes it powerful. Do you like that power? When you step on somebody, Do you like that power when you expose somebody? Do you like that power when it makes you masculine and better than somebody because you expose their weaknesses and you stomp on them and walk on them? If you like that power, then you're of the beast. But Christ, when he found the man laying on the Jericho road, you know, the Good Samaritan, when he found that man on the side of the Jericho road, it went to him and he bound up his wounds and he helped him and carried him. Now we're talking about love. We're talking about the manifestation of love. Boy, I wish that Brother Rob could get up here and preach this message. I could tell you, I'm more than a conqueror, man. But these are things that you and I deal with on a daily basis. And you think because you hide from them or deny them or don't look at them, it makes you spiritual. No, it makes you spiritual, turn and faces them and conquers them. You see, this is why we have the weapons of warfare, for we could fight. There's none of it on your backside, but you turn your back to these things. I don't have no envy. I don't have no strife. I don't have no jealousy. You say they're all behind you. They're all stabbing you in the back. But you face those things, and you look at it, and you think, well, it makes me weak to see my weakness. No, it makes you strong to see your weakness because you conquer it. But you're in denial, and you think it makes you better because you deny it. You see, if the doctor says that you're dying of cancer, well, I deny that. Well, you'll deny it and die. Brother Pike said he knew many people that got sicknesses and infirmities, and they would say, I don't have that. Well, that's a confession of faith, you say. Oh, well, praise God, no, it's a confession. There's a difference between a confession and a confession of faith. And when you say, I don't have envy, and you're full of it, I don't have jealousy, and you're full of it, I don't have hate, and you're full of it, I don't have animosity, and you're full of it, so you're speaking that faith? No, it's not faith. It's in denial. But you say, you know what, Brother Rob, I understand that I have all of those things laying within the members of my first birth, and I could deny them and say I don't, and they destroy me. But I could look at them in the eye, I could look in the mirror, not walk away, not knowing what manner of man I am. That's the difference between me and some. I look in the mirror and I realize that I'm no good, that I'm wretched, and that I have all of these symptoms laying within me, and I say, I'm going to conquer them. But you deny it. I don't have that. That's a lack of faith. No, a lack of faith is denying it and letting it consume you and manifest in you. But faith is looking at it. Faith is conquering it. Faith is taking and going head against it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. But when you lock the gate and don't pursue it, then it's prevailed against you. But we're going to kick it down and we're going to deal with the enemy of God, of the carnal mind, of the flesh. And we're going to deal with this thing and we're going to conquer it by bringing and yielding forth the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit conquers and overcomes. I wish it was just simply by confession. But he said, I was looking for fruit of your repentance. I was dealing with a brother, dear brother, the other day. And he said, but Brother Rob, I told him I was sorry. And I said, your word sorry has no strength anymore, brother. Because you were sorry yesterday when you done it. And you were sorry the day before when you done it. And you were sorry the day before when you done it. And you were sorry the day before that when you done it. Sorry is not a magical word. You know, we in Christianity think, well, I'm sorry, that's repentance. Well, I'm sorry, I've trespassed against you, that's repentance. No! Repentance means you turned and went the other way. So if I violated you yesterday, and I say, brother, please forgive me, I'm sorry, and then I go the other way, then you could receive the apology because you see a fruit of it that I have turned away. If I keep telling you I'm sorry today, sorry tomorrow, sorry the next day, and I keep doing the same thing, your words has no strength. And see, this is what I'm speaking of here. Someone say, well, I'm a born-again son of God. I'm born of God and I can't sin. And I'm of God. Hallelujah. Does it have any strength? There's people that can't receive the doctrine of Christ being taught here because they see that you haven't got it. You want to chide with people? You think that you're superior to them because you could talk the right doctrine? But I like what Brother Branham said. He said, I would rather have a man with the wrong doctrine and the right spirit than have a man with the right doctrine and the wrong spirit. You might have the right doctrine. You might be able to tell me all the quotes of Brother Paul. You might be able to tell me all the revelational foundations and truth. But if you don't have the spirit of it, it's just a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. That's all it is. Just because you could tell me what Paul done, or what Billy Sunday done, or you could talk about the conquering abilities and powers of these great men of God, and you could talk about all the miracles in the last century of these great men of God, doesn't make you have it. What do we need? We need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We need the love of God. We need the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. There's your strength. There's your power. There's your life. When you manifest it, there's your life. That's the revelation. The manifestation of the revelation is a deed, an action, an attribute, a life, a spirit. You see, the understanding of the Spirit of life isn't the manifestation of the Spirit of life. The fruit is A tree in the yard isn't the manifestation of the fruit that it bears, but it has to be there. So we need the fruit, lest our tree be hewed down. Brethren, thank you for coming to church and hearing a message that applies to me. When you think that the preacher is preaching these messages because it doesn't apply to him, you're wrong. So God gives me the ability maybe to try with an effort. I'm not much of an orator or a speaker, but I can make an ability to apply this message to you and to me and say, man, let's take a hold of this. If I apply this, does it make me better than you? It makes me more responsible and it makes me more accountable to you. If I've got the Spirit of God, I'm accountable to you that aren't walking in it to help you with it. So if I prove that I've got it by showing that you don't have it, then where is the love of God? Where's the peace of God? Where is the gentleness of God? Where is the long-suffering of God? Where are these attributes of faith? Where's goodness in that? Does it make me more spiritual when I expose your weakness? Does it make me more spiritual than Brother Ed if I point out Brother Ed's problems? But see, what being spiritual is, if Brother Ed has got problems, is to go hand in hand with Brother Ed and say, let me help you. Let me show you. But sometimes it's not in the attributes of man. Brethren, let's take heed to the things we've heard today. Let's apply them in our lives. If I fail them, doesn't justify your failure. If I pass these things, so to speak, if we were looking at it as a test, that doesn't justify you either. If you know a man of God that has conquered these things, that doesn't justify you. It makes you accountable. You saw that it was attainable and it's possible. And it is attainable, brethren. But like the Bible says, hey, you ran the race well, what's hindered you? And the thing is, you know, we can all testify, man, I done good last week, Brother Rob. Man, I done this, I done that, I conquered. I said, well, praise God. But what about today? How many times can I resurrect this Rob Coons? How many times can I resurrect him and then call myself crucified in Christ? How many times can I let him live, rule, and reign and take the affairs of my life and then say that I'm more than a conqueror? If I am more than a conqueror, what have I conquered? And you say, well, we will conquer death. And I say, yea and amen. What is death? The carnal mind. So the thing is if I'm more than a conqueror, that means that I've abolished the carnal mind. And that means that I've overcome all of these things right here again. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike. Praise God for endurance of the Holy Ghost, huh? Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for filling me with the Spirit. Thank God that I can conquer that thing today and wake up tomorrow morning with enough strength to conquer it again. If you're in the army today and we take the soldiers or platoon of men out and we conquer, we go through the jungles and we go out through the deserts and we conquer, we dig them out of their strongholds and we kill the adversary. And we go in that night and say, man, we're more than conquerors, you know, and we have a good time around the campfire or whatever. We get some rest, we get up in the next morning, we're talking about yesterday we were conquerors and we die today on the field. But we go out with the same mind. We go out looking against the enemy of God. And I'm sorry, he's laying there in the members of your first birth and he's there to devour, he's there to kill, and he's there to destroy. And while you're looking for him, as I wrote that article not many months back, and I said, while you're out there looking for him and making Brother Rob your enemy, or Brother Ed your enemy, or your wife your enemy, or your brother your enemy, or your husband your enemy, you're being devoured from within. People are out there looking where the enemy's at, and they make everything their enemy. That's not the enemy. The enemy is laying within the members of that first man, Adam, in the flesh. And all men's hearts are fashioned alike, so you're not excluded from this message. This message is revelation to all men. They've got to conquer, they've got to kill, they've got to destroy. This, and it's you, and you alone. You're the enemy of God. You are. I am. So we conquer him and kill, and if there's anything good to be said about Brother Rom, it's the Christ. All good things to God. If you're picked up to the cross of Calvary, the Bible teaches very clearly it's to draw all men unto him, not you, to him. Be small and he could be big. Be weak and he could be strong. When you're strong, you're trying to make him weak because you got the mind, you got the thoughts, you got the know-how, you got the way, and that'll fail you every time. Haughtiness, arrogance is a destroyer. You may have never dealt with it, I have. When you get educated and you get smart and you know how to accomplish, you can get haughty. The rich answer haughtily. Why? Because they got money. That's why they answer haughtily. I didn't write that. That's the word of God. Sometimes, you know, because of your great brilliant thoughts and mind, you've obtained finances and wealth, you get haughty. I'm better. You look down at people that are in poverty, you look down on people. And then there's the other side of the spectrum. You can go over and you can resent everybody that's got wealth and you say that they're all of the devil. You know, they're seeking after it. Not everybody that's got wealth was seeking after it. Brother Pike had jet airplanes. That's kind of numbered with wealthy people, ain't it? He was driving a $60,000 car in the 80s. That kind of goes with wealthy, doesn't it? Huh? I think he had a $500 cowboy hat. That kind of goes along with wealth, doesn't it? He didn't seek after none of those things, brother. They were given unto him because he was given his life, his substance, his finance to the Lord. I heard him make this statement. I know I said I was closing. He said, you know what? I live in the house of plenty. He said, I open up the front door and there's people standing with grocery sacks. I think, wow, thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. And they bring him and put it in the refrigerator. And he says, I got the back door open and I'm handing it out the back door. And he said, it keeps coming through the front door. And I keep handing it out the back door. This is what he said. He said, that's why I live in the house of plenty. But when you receive it in and you hoard and you keep it, it quits coming. Why? Because there ain't no room for it. That's just the ways of God, the principles of God. Give yourself rich. Keep yourself poor. That was a proverb, so to speak, Brother Pike used to say. See, that's contrary to the mind of flesh. Let's stand together. I appreciate you. Love you. Help me. I pray and trust that somewhere through my stumbling around, through trying to bring a message to you, that you could have heard the voice of God and seen that this was not a message by intellect of mankind, but by the grace and the mercy and by the love of God. Amen. Y'all love the Lord today?
Amen.
We need each other. Brother Jonathan needs Brother Rom. Boy, I'm glad you could see that. No, I need Brother Jonathan. Boy, I'm glad I could see that. It's easy for me to say, Brother Jonathan needs me. He can get by fine without Brother Rom. You realize that? He can go on, serve the Lord, keep his family unspotted from the world. He can do that. But I say, I need Brother John. Well, you can get by without Brother John. If he went off in the ministry or something, you'd make out just fine. Does that change the statement that I need Brother John? Does it change the statement that Brother John needs me? Or Brother Dale needs me? Or I need Brother Dale? Let me ask you a question. If you're so self-sufficient that you don't need anybody, and I've got a beam laying down here on the floor that's 18 foot long and weighs 200 pounds. Well, I can handle it. Well, maybe you can. I can't. I need your help. I'm going to get on one end and get somebody on the other end, and that's how I'm going to get you to help me. I've been on the other end of it, believe me. But you see the need that you have there? We have needs. Don't be independent-minded. Don't be high-minded. Don't be puffed up. Don't be lifted up. You see, if you find yourself lifted up, let Christ be the one to lift you up. And when he lifts you up, he's going to lift you up to one place and one place alone. That's Calvary. And that's a wonderful place to be because that's where resurrection life comes in at. We need one another, brothers. We need to unify. Now we're talking strength. Amen. You say, well, you've preached this message before and I'm going to continue to preach it by the grace of God until you conquer it and I conquer it. Have you conquered it, Brother Rom? Well, if you want to talk about what I have conquered, I'm going to have to point to God and say only by the grace of God. If you want to talk about what I failed, I'm going to still talk about the grace of God because I get the opportunity. When you fail, you've heard me say this from the sacred desk many times. When you fail, when you as an individual fail, I say you're going to get the opportunity to conquer that thing you failed at. It's going to roll around. It'll be a different person, possibly, a different personality, a different individual. But you'll get the opportunity to conquer that thing. Why? Because God's word is real, and he said you're more than a conqueror. So if you fail in weakness of whatever it is, stumbling in your flesh, if it's drunkenness, if it's whatever, I can go back and read these things. If you fail in wrath, if you fail in anger, as the Lord told me, righteous indignation does not justify fleshly animosity. And we have failed that. I have failed that. You have failed that. You think because someone violated you, it gives you the right to violate them. That's living by the sword and dying by the sword. You'll die in the same and perish in the same hell that one that violated you is. Because your violation is even worse than theirs. God raised them up to violate you. God put them on the earth to violate you. The preparation of that man's heart was from God to violate you, to rob from you, to steal from you, to crucify you, to spit in your face. God put him there to do that for you could show forth the fruit of the Spirit. How could you show goodness unless there was ugliness in your face? How can you show gentleness unless there was wrath in your face? How can you show temperance unless there was something pressing against you? Amen. So let's bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. I love you and appreciate you. Let's sing a song.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the Brothers and Sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.